This is the final recap of Shiprocked before we do our big Wonderland extravaganza. The reason why I'm recording this intro is because this is a two-parter. There's a 6:45 a.m. recording of Jen Tisdale and I, and then we have a 12:39 p.m. recording of Melissa, Jen, and I, because we were finally in the airport, and we have a lot of time to kill before our flight, and an interesting thing happened this morning. So, not live from the Miami airport, here is the last recap of Shiprocked, a cruise that exists.
It's my way or the highway.
All right, we're done.
Listen to my voice.
We're done. It's 6:53 in the morning on Friday. We've lived through day, I guess, four?
Yeah.
We lived through day four. It rained, which was both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, because they moved all the outside shows inside.
And they made, the night was supposed to end at 11, and it ended at, I think,
2. Probably.
So, I wasn't able to sleep as well as Jen. We're in the same room, if I didn't make that clear.
I don't know, there's just something about Limp Bizkit playing the floor above me. Is it above? Or
it's above? Right above you.
That just lulls a gal to sleep.
Yesterday was essentially our media day. We had interviews with lots of people. Well, yep. A few people. We interviewed Vernon from Living Color, and that was great.
It was the greatest.
That was the best interview we did.
It was really wonderful.
And then we got an exclusive.
Yep, that's what I kept calling it. An exclusive interview with Fred Durst. Because nobody else got the interview. We sat around for an hour and a half because we were told to show up an hour before their scheduled meet and greet, because that was when they would be doing interviews. But naturally, because hashtag Limp Bizkit, they were just like, we don't need to show up for that. Everyone knows all they need to know about us. We're Limp and we're Bizkit.
All five members showed up, by the way, to the meet and greet.
Yes, which was very surprising.
Publicists thought it would just be Fred.
I did too. Granted, no one knows what the other guys look like who are not West Borland.
John Otto!
Sure. Sorry. He's a guy. And then
I think he was wearing a Famous t-shirt unironically.
When he is Famous?
Like the brand.
Oh.
Travis Barker made it Famous.
Jesus.
No pun intended.
Haha. So, are we allowed to say...
Yeah, I don't care.
Anything we want.
Anything
at
we
this
want.
Point. We yeah, can say we're maybe done. Negative things about...
Everyone here hates us.
Okay. So, it was very clear that the woman, like, running the press stuff and
fucking hates us.
Hated us. Because our publication is not exactly a heavy metal publication, even though Brightest Young Thing sounds extremely metal. So her disdain was just like bubbling below the surface at all times.
Her husband was very nice.
He was the best.
He was great.
He should be working there. She should not be.
Oh boy.
So she said, and I don't think she meant it, just try to come back after the meet and greet to talk to Limp Bizkit. And I took that to heart. I was like, your word is bond. You speak truth to power. Or power to truth, whatever it is. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And so we come back and it's wrapping up. And so Brandon makes me go over to Fred Durst.
Well, and we'll get to why in a second.
Because I'm a gal.
That's
and
right.
He thought, because it would be like, oh, you're a girl. So I said...
And it worked.
I just said, Mr. Durst. So I think it would help to speak to him.
Sir Durst.
Yes, as the gentleman that he is. I said, I know this isn't really kosher to just, spring an interview request on you, but we were hoping that you could just give us 5 minutes to talk. I was like, I'm from this company. I told him about our company. We're an online magazine based out of D.C. and New York. And I said, it will be the most fun interview you've done, and I will buy you a dinner at the buffet.
You also said...
Which is free every day.
You also said, heard you've been going to the buffet a lot.
I did say that. That's how the interview started.
No, the interview technically started with, how'd you get that eHarmony commercial?
That was halfway through.
No, it wasn't. That was the first thing you asked him.
My lips were real. That's all I cared about. But at first he looked confused. He kept saying, well, where is it? And I was just like, and I kept thinking he was asking about our company, and I just kept saying, Washington, D.C. And then he goes, no, like, what is it, like, in your pocket? And I was just like, what is in my pocket? I don't understand. And then Brandon came over, and then Fred Durst's, like, bouncer manager guy was like,
you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this.
And I was just like, everybody, relax. So he said, okay. So we sat down, and he came over a little bit later and proceeded to be Fred Durst.
Dumb as rice. So dumb.
Yeah, just Fred Durst.
We ask every Fred Wurst. We ask every person we interview, like, one of three stories, especially if we don't, like, know their catalog, right? So for Vernon Reed, we could have talked for, like, hours.
Sure.
About anything. But for Fred Durst, we're like, okay, we don't really respect you. We should ask him his nightmare gig, why he quit, or how he got fired, and he couldn't come up with one fucking story about anything in his life.
Yeah, it's like he was never... It's like he hadn't been alive before that moment.
He just stared at us with dead eyes.
Yeah, I mean... So,
and after like 10 seconds to maybe 15 seconds of silence, yeah. I was like, just started complimenting his movie
career.
Yeah,
that's what you have to do, unfortunately. I didn't even know he directed other movies, because I was like, how did this E-Harmony thing happen? And he was like, oh, well...
I'm storyboard.
He was like, yeah. If you've ever seen those E-Harmony commercials, there's no way there's a storyboard. It's the dude who owns E-Harmony, and also
doing the role
and like talking to like children inexplicably. So it's a really old guy and two really young children talking about a dating site. Two people who decidedly should not be on a dating site. A gentleman who is really, 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 really old, and then children. So, but Fred, but one of the reasons why he said he wanted to do E-Harmony, he said something about liking the actors he was going to work with, and I didn't ask, but I wanted to say, but you're not working with any actors, you're just working with the guy who owns the company E-Harmony. I don't understand.
So, anyways, that was that.
But wait, we have to get to the best quote.
Yeah.
So then he goes on and he's apparently making a new movie that he wasn't sure he could share any information with. He kept looking around as if a lawyer was going to pop out from behind a bush and like clamp it down immediately and be like, Fred, this is illegal. It's this, and then pull out a contract. So he was like, he couldn't tell us the name of the film. It's apparently based on a book. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, what's the genre? And after like, I swear to God, it felt like hours.
It was like 10 seconds. He goes, that's a long time.
Drama. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
I think you said, I like drama.
Yeah, I said, that's fine, drama. I was trying to be encouraging.
TNT.
Yeah. We know drama. So then he says, and I'm like trying to get more information out of him, and finally he says the best quote of the day. He goes, well, you know, it's about like, it's like about music. It's like Almost Famous.
But true.
And I didn't say it, but I wanted to go, that was a true
story. That was based on a true story.
So, anyway, and I don't even want to be mean about him. I just don't understand
him.
It
was nice of him to talk to us.
It was nice of him to talk to us, so I'm not going to be like, what a dick.
I found out Zach Wilde is sober and has been for 6 years.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, he keeps carrying, he has buckets of non-alcoholic beer, and I feel like he drinks them just to like, yep. Make it look like he's like a hardcore rocker. Yep.
Everything's a lie. Speaking of everything is a lie, we also interviewed Josh Todd from the great band Buck Cherry.
And he turned out, we made fun of Buck Cherry like to each other a lot before we even came on this cruise. And he ended up being like the best, one of the best humans.
Yeah, he's been sober
for, he's been sober for 20 years. He's still singing about cocaine, but he's been sober for 20 years.
That's fine. He still loves cocaine. He just can't do it.
Well, that's how addiction works.
Yeah.
And
he's very open about his addiction.
He should be. He's nothing to be ashamed of. And then he's got three children. Mm-hmm. One of them is 20.
2069,
sorry. And and he was reading books. He opened up his phone and showed us the books that he's downloaded, the book he's reading now, and the next book he's reading, which is Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
I got excited about that.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. And we talked about his health regimen, how he works out, which is a prison workout, which was funny. He goes,
those are his words.
Yeah, that's what he said. And basketball, like push-ups, shadow boxing, and then immediately my brain was like, Fiona Apple. And I kept humming it to myself.
No, he was actually very nice man. He has a good sense of humor. He understands what he's doing. And then,
and he races go-karts.
He does.
And I got excited, because I almost said, oh, I don't have a license anymore, so maybe I should race go-karts so I can drive again.
And he asked you if you like speed.
And I said, yeah.
So, oh my god. We're very, very tired.
Yeah. Oh, wait. And then I forgot the last thing about the woman that hated us.
No, go ahead.
After the Durst interview before Buckcherry, we went over to check in for Buckcherry, and she goes, "Oh, how'd you get the Durst interview?" As if, like, I was like, "Oh, yeah." I said I offered to buy him dinner at the buffet, which is true. It's almost like she forgot that she told us to come back. I think she was just trying to be nice, but she didn't realize that we were like sharks in the water and we were going to do it. We were going to get our interview. And because no one else interviewed him, which I'm 99% certain is the case, it's an exclusive.
If no one wants, is it still an exclusive? It's an exclusive.
And then we ran into one of his like road guys when we were playing basketball rather poorly with, and I said to him, "Do you know anything about this movie Fred Durst is working on?" He goes, "I didn't know he was working on a movie." And I said, "Yeah, apparently it's like almost famous, but it's a true story."
We played basketball.
Yeah, badly.
Badly. I found out that you could just use your card and pour your own beers.
At like a beer vending machine, which seems extremely dangerous on something like this to just have access like that.
So I did that. That was definitely worth it. So I didn't have to have any human interaction.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing like this.
When I was at the gym, I learned that one of the movies that's on loop is Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Oh, gosh. That must be for, like, the three children on board.
Yep. Let's go. I'm looking at some of those, looking at the best quotes is, "I don't know how you got that Durst interview."
Oh, man.
Oh, the custom Limp Bizkit jacket Fred Durst was wearing. Oh. It was,
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it was like a, like the official logo. It's an LL Bean jacket.
Haha, Dad. It used to be a members only jacket, but then he realized he was the only one.
We met three gentlemen from Manchester, England.
And oh God, it was so exciting, and none of them knew anything about Factory Records. We're
like, "Why are you here?" Like, "We love Limp Bizkit." I'm like, "Oh, it sounds classic."
I know it does. Suddenly, I loved them too. And I was like, "Oh, I love Factory Records and Joy Division and New Order and the Happy Mondays." And they're like, "Who are they?" And I was like, "Ugh, you are not from Manchester. Liars."
I'm going through the notes of the day right now.
There was something else I was going to say about...
We talked to some of the workers. They're essentially prisoners here. They work for like 3 to 9 months straight.
Yeah.
And the workers get 3 to 4 hours off between cruises.
Yeah, or like 5 hours. And then I was like, "What do you do?" They're like, "Oh, God, sometimes we'll shop, but we mostly sleep." And I was like, "Jesus.
Jeez, fuck. That's horrible."
Oh, wait. Well, sorry. I keep coming back to Fred Durst. What was his quote? Remember that you were like, "That's the pull quote."
Mm-hmm.
It was something about a prison.
Yeah, it's a floating prison.
Yeah,
with an occasional stab at the beach where you could drown.
No, he said it's a prison with the option to drown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fact that every single one of these performers had a really good succinct anecdote about the boat being horrible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Vernon said something about flip flops and men wearing flip flops.
Look at what.
And he defined douchebaggery for us, which is being an asshole with intent.
I highly recommend you listening to the podcast if you skipped over that one to get that one. So that'll be released before this one.
Yeah.
Here are two of my favorite quotes I heard. "Hugging the toilet trying to hide from your wife?" ? That was heard in the buffet. And I think you actually wrote this one down, or I maybe made Melissa write that last one down. I can't tell.
My scratchy handwriting looks like Melissa.
Okay.
She said, "The only male on this the only rule on this ship is that I can't sleep on the bathroom floor." What is this?
I don't know.
Why? I can't read any of these. "I will quote Norbit." What?
It's one of the quotes.
Oh, God.
Would you do this again?
Oh, someone said, "I'm going to die alone."
Yep.
Yeah, well. Yeah, but I told you already that, like, I just like cruising. I'm a cruiser. I like,
what do you like about this?
I like the buffet that you could just go and
but
eat.
But Jen, you're not poor. You could just get whatever food you want.
Yeah, but it's not the same
want.
Because, like, all I have to do is walk and get it. I don't have to order it or wait for it. It doesn't have to be brought to me.
So you'd rather just...
You get a wide variety.
But none of it's amazing.
It's, like, fine.
Exactly.
But I'm like... But I have, like, a really... like lame palate, like I just don't like. I will get excited about a TGI Fridays or a Ruby Tuesdays. I don't care.
I couldn't. Jen and I are in the same room. Jen and I went to something that I really wish we did not go to last night, which was the Drunk Spelling Bee, hosted by two horrible people. Horrible people.
No, it wasn't a drunk spelling bee. It was
the
beer pong contest.
The beer pong contest.
Yeah, I was like.
I'm sorry.
Did
yes.
we go back in time?
What? Yes, these entire boat went back in time. It went back to WrestleMania like 15 with Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, those guys were pretty bad, and I was just like really mad the whole time because the host.
I was at a level. I can't speak for you. We're just yelling at them from maybe 30 feet away about just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. Pretty
every
much.
Time they said so, it was very homophobic.
Yeah,
very homophobic. We just would scream at them. You were screaming at them. I was screaming at them. Mm-hmm. Melissa was screaming at them about privilege and feminism
and
homophobia.
Yeah. I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, man. Let's just end this. Let's wrap this.
Okay. It's going to be bad, though, so you might want to leave.
Okay. Well, to sum it up, this is a horrible thing. You should never do it. Jen is currently singing Roland while in the bathroom, and I wasn't able to sleep because there was a Limp Bizkit sound check before the set, and then I would wake up every 10 minutes hearing the high-pitched squeal of Les Borland's guitar. That sums up the cruise. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Alright, so the last thing we said, I don't remember the last thing we said, it was a long time ago. It's still, it's not
you
even 1
6:45?
p.m. 6:45?
I screamed I was going to the bathroom.
Okay, so that's how we ended the podcast. And then we were supposed to get off of the boat. Jen and I went to the gym.
Yep.
We barely worked out.
It was pretty silly. I listened to ABBA the whole time.
Did
just,
you really?
Just to like try to balance out my soul and my heart.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I listen to a podcast and then a Run the Jewels song.
Sure, that yeah. also. It'll do the same.
Anything that isn't like what we were on the cruise with. Melissa, what were you doing?
I was eating breakfast.
That seems reasonable.
Took a shower, went down to get my final breakfast, final meal on the ship.
From the buffet.
From the buffet, yep.
Jen and I did not really have a final meal. We both had chocolate milk and I had pineapple.
Oh, I meant to get chocolate milk on the way out. I forgot.
You
oh,
should go back man. Next year.
But wait, you have to tell them how terrible your night was. It was pretty bad.
It was a terrible night. It was a terrible night. I did not sleep. Well, I slept a little bit, but between probably 4:15 and 6:45, I was awake just like biting my fingernails off because the ship was making a loud noise and then things started knocking against the side of the ship and it was very rollicking. And I just thought, we are all going down. We made it this far. We are this close. And it's going to end in a watery grave for all of us. Yeah. So I did not get much sleep. Just alone with my thoughts.
Jen and I go back to the room.
Wait, before that, I stole no less than 600.
Didn't steal, took. There's a difference. They were out in the open.
I did ask permission, and I don't think they knew what I was doing. I took... there were a lot of beautifully crafted ship-rocked napkins with the date on them, so I knew for a fact that those guys were not going to be used again.
Yeah. Right. And we're recycling.
I grabbed them all to bring to our podcasting later tonight as little gifts, because I want
gifts.
Everyone to feel like they were also on
there's
going to
be Mardi Gras beads and schedules.
Earplugs that I don't really wear.
They'd be great. Anyways... we go back to the room. Jen showers. I'm about to get in the shower, and a very angry man knocks on the door and says, "You have to be out at 9 a.m. We're like, "It's 8:43, and you just put a door opener in our door.
Yeah, he did that.
That's not cool, bro." I take a 3-minute shower, and we're out the door at 8:59. Fuck you.
Yep.
We find our friend Melissa. She's sitting. How was that?
Where we
lovely.
You are in the atrium.
So, oh, right.
And we begin our journey off of the ship.
Yeah, it's quite a journey.
Melissa and I have passports. I don't really look like myself in my passport, so I have to show my ID. Not a big deal. Jen is flagged.
I'm flagged for what I believed was going to be a routine special inspection because I...
bad luck.
Because I have green eyes, brown hair, and I look like a terrorist. So... but I panic immediately because as a human, cops make me nervous just as a, even though I am a white lady and in theory I should be like, yeah, cops. I am never ever feeling that way. I've sadly been arrested before. Anyway, they take me down to the Paradise City where the grass is green. No, and
before they take her down, Melissa, for some reason, has her suitcase at the time.
Yeah, and
Jen's like, no, you just take it. And we're like, no.
Someone told me I didn't need it, so I was like,
No.
The other guy said, I don't need it, so I'm like, fuck, I'm not.
Yeah, but we've
it.
Seen Brokedown Palace. We're not doing that.
Guys, I packed the cocaine. Please take the cocaine with you. It's in a decorative pot. So I get down there, and I'm on probation. That should be pointed out. And
listeners of the show know that.
Oh, okay, right. So
I'm not trying to be a dick.
No, I don't remember if I ever mentioned it. So I'm on probation.
Loyal listeners of the show that have been following the catalog about 100 episodes ago. We dated this. No, I'm sorry. So you're on probation.
Yes, I'm on probation. And I briefly thought about the fact that I had told my probation officer I was going, but like that was the long and the short of it, and could this be that?
And I remember we had this conversation earlier this week.
Because I couldn't go to Atlantic City.
You want to go to Atlantic City? You're like, oh, I can't do two trips.
Yeah, I can't do two. It's too much.
And this one's work-related, so they're letting me go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So immediately, I'm asked if I have my papers. Do you have your papers? Your permission slip? And I was like, nope. And then I started crying because that's what I do. I am a fucking crier. Brandon's trying to ask me from the hallway what's going on, and I tried to go towards him, and the cop is like, don't move. And I was like, oh no. And I was like, but in my head I was like quoting The Crow a little bit. Don't move or you're dead. And I say I'm dead and I move and I just kept going. No.
But you were also trying to mouth something to me.
I was trying to say I can't tell you because I wanted to shout out I didn't get permission, but I didn't want him to like know that I guess I technically didn't get permission. And because I thought I was thinking I was fine.
Got it.
And so essentially the deal was that maybe I was going to be detained in Miami for a while. Or, so they had to call my PO, and she was like, very much like a mom, she was like, oh, she can come back here, but she is in trouble. So I called my PO from the airport when they let me go, and she was like, come in Monday, and then I guess we're going to see what happens. So I have to go to court again, which is fine.
Is it fine?
Yeah, because I'm so used to it by now.
That doesn't make it better.
Man's law doesn't mean anything. To me.
Just because you think you live in Crow's Law doesn't make it so. That's our special effects.
True. Remember, I only file a one higher power, and that higher power is Limp Bizkit. You guys?
No, we're not getting on board.
Because I'm a crazy bird.
That's a different band.
I know, I don't care anymore.
How tired are you? 1 to 10.
I think I'm more tired now because of the incident.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say like 6 or 7, whereas...
That's not bad.
Wait. 10 is exhausted.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Between 9 and 11, I'm at a...
Melissa, where are you? 3 to 11.
3 to 11.
Oh, that throws things off a little bit. Probably a 6.
Okay.
You're in 5 to 6.
You're at an Amber Alert.
We're in the airport now. Melissa and I went to...
Cafe Versailles.
Yeah, which has been around forever, and we're doing tourist shit. We're just in there, like, texting Jen's mom. Jen's mom is telling us what your lawyer's saying. He's like, what are you saying?
He's very dramatic, Gary. Gary Bernstein. Shout
Plugs.
Out. Shout out if you need him. Gary's like, oh, this is not going to be good. They're probably going to detain her until they can talk to her PO, and that could be at least a couple of weeks, and then they'll let her go on her own recognizance, which is my favorite word ever, own recognizance. That's always what you want. And my mom calls me back. Well, she didn't call me. When I talked to her after I was released, she said, I didn't want to tell you that. And then she goes, you know, next time. And I was like, really? Next time we're not going to use Gary. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if there wasn't a next time? But like, we both know.
Just don't have a next time.
I don't want to. I didn't think today was going to be a next time, but it was.
So this once free cruise has turned into a very expensive cruise for you.
Absolutely. I'm not going to need a lawyer when I go to court again, but I'm emotionally.
You're exhausted.
Bankrupt.
You're exhausted.
Pretty much.
So was it worth it? Was it worth it before?
It wasn't worth it. Nothing is ever worth this. Oh, yeah, it was worth it before this incident.
Okay.
It was the best.
Not to Melissa. Yeah. Melissa's still going, eh.
No. I would make the same decision to come on it, but I would not do it again next year.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it does. You didn't like screaming out?
You know what? It wasn't that. That wasn't the problem. It was the actual cruise part that I was just like, this is stupid. I want to see hardwood floors. I want to not be trapped here.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to deal with these people anymore. Like, the actual, like, bands or whatever, that's pretty easy to ignore.
On another cruise, on, like, a normal cruise, there are more activities for when you're at sea for a day. They like, provide you with a lot of things to do because it is very horrifying.
Well, we did have the belly flop contest, but due to inclement weather, it was canceled.
So we would have had a lot of other things to do, but
would
weather.
We would have had actually stayed and watched it and not been incredibly depressed?
I would.
You know
I,
who would have well, hosted that?
How drunk were we by 12:30? Not yet.
I wasn't.
12:30 in the day?
Yeah, because that was when it was originally scheduled.
I didn't drink until 3 or 4 yesterday.
That's good for you.
Oh, yeah. You were drinking.
We were doing interviews all day, so we couldn't. I mean, we could have, but we didn't. We didn't want to pull a Zach Wilde and you just drink fake beer the entire time either.
Oh, dudes.
Zach Wilde from the hit film Rockstar, starring Marky Mark.
Yep. So that's what we learned. I am incredibly exhausted for no real reason either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got plenty of sleep.
Yeah. We got 7 to 8 hours
Sorry
of sleep.
Sorry to rub that in.
No, but it was horrible, horrible sleep. We were in a bed, you know, for a very long time. Just felt like garbage people.
Yeah. But I feel like we've taken care of ourselves.
Yeah. So we worked out every day.
Sorry, Melissa.
We're not trying to rub this into you.
We didn't eat poorly.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I had, like, ice cream and cinnamon buns.
Oh, state.
Yeah, but not like all day, every day.
Yeah, just you
more
didn't
than
really
more than usual.
Yeah,
more cinnamon buns than usual.
But comparatively, for everyone else on the ship, we were not
probably.
I don't know. Now we're in the Miami airport. One of the three of us has to go to court on Monday. I'm sorry, it's CPO.
Yeah, see her Monday, and then I asked her. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, Miss Randall. Just tell me if you're gonna arrest me on Monday so I can wear something comfortable. She said, you're not getting arrested. I said, are you lying to me? Because I wanna be comfortable in jail. So, fingers crossed.